He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday morning, January the 25th edition of the Best Inverse Funds Now show. We changed the name about a month ago, Barry. I don't well, you know, I wish I had good news today. All I can say is yesterday we were way down. We were down 1,000 and we finished up for the day. I don't know what's going to happen today, but as of right now, the Dow's down 789. 33,574, and it's closing in fast on what I call its critical support level. A move below that, and I would take further action on the inverse funds. We already own several. The NASDAQ, 412 points down, 3%. ARK funds down another 5% today. The NASDAQ is also close to a very crucial support level for it. A break below that, I would take increased action on the inverse funds. S&P down 115, closing in on its critical support level. I have a critical support level on every one of these, Barry, and a break below that wouldn't be good. Okay, let's see. We've got gold. It's up. There's your bright spot. Gold is up about $10 per ounce, and crude oil is up 74 cents to $84.05. That seems to be one of the last bastions of support, the oil and gas sector and the gold mining sector. The 10-year, interest rates are going down. 1.73, and the dynamic there is as people move into the safety of bonds and buying bonds, that drives interest rates down. That's how that dynamic works. So there you have it. Welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite. Barry, I'm working on my newsletter for the weekend. How do you spell crater? Can you? It's with a K or a C.
Yeah, right.
I hate to be, got to keep a sense of humor in all this. Now, crater was in my newsletter headline last week. And, the Fed is meeting tomorrow. I would say that that's probably going to be one of the most watched and anticipated Fed meetings in recent memory, and everybody expects for them to lay out their plan for interest rate hikes. And some are wondering if all of this market action and this tantrum that the market has thrown would change their plans at all. I don't know. I can't answer that. They've been awfully dovish and awfully good to the market for a long, long time. You just wonder if this sell-off and panic and terror in the eyes of investors would stay them at all on hiking rates now in the midst of a market panic. Meanwhile, the market says they could care less about the market. That's not an indicator of the economy. Well, I beg to differ. One of the great leading indicators of the economy, in fact, it's in the index of leading indicators, is the market itself, because the market is looking forward, looking ahead, and the market does not like what it sees. Now, we don't know. I mean, yesterday, like I say, the Dow was down 1,000 points at one point in time, and then I started seeing buying coming in, and I sent out a text message to all my followers and clients. I said, I think the bottom is in for the day. This big sell-off is over. And by the end of the day, can you believe we were up 100 points, Barry? That's an 1,100-point turnaround. Okay?
Well, and when you see, the NASDAQ was down almost 5% at one point and bounced back to finish positive. And I saw one of the first you know, one of the last times you had that big of a swing in the market was 2001.com bubble. So
yeah.
I hope that's not foreshadowing, but that's what the statistics say.
So. I was there, and this definitely has a similar look and feel to it. Yeah, that was an 800-point turnaround yesterday on the NASDAQ. So there is a little bit of bottoming here right now. There's your good news. And guess what? There's hope. There's hope. Look at the symbol hope. That's one of the biggest winners in the market today. Hope is up 7.6%. Now, there's a harbinger. There's a sign, okay, hope. It's a small bank, and that seems to be one of the – neighborhoods of the market that is holding up the best. A lot of small bank earnings came in this morning, and I'm going to be looking at a lot of those small banks today. I remember back in 2002, 2003, the small banks were one of the great places to be. And, of course, your big percent gainers today are your inverse funds. Look at LABD, for instance, which we own. That's three times inverse the biotech sector. That thing's up 8.9% today. That's helping us. Look at PSQ. Okay, PSQ is inverse the NASDAQ. Wow, it's up 3.1% today. Look at SARC. SARC is inverse ARC. It's up 5% today. Let's take a look at TWM, which is double short the Russell 2000. It's up 7% today. Now, Barry, I got I heard from a follower yesterday. Her account is held at Vanguard. Guess what Vanguard says when you call up to buy an inverse fund?
Do you have to have, you know, when, my guess is they either don't have them or you have to have margin or you have to have some kind of special approval on the account?
You have to go somewhere else.
Oh, well, that's some,
they
that's
do
some special
not
approval.
Allow. Right. Now, that's like saying, you know, at the circus, we don't allow safety nets. You know, we don't. If you fall, too bad. You know, if you're not good on that trapeze, tough. I don't understand that, but obviously that goes against everything that John Bogle ever taught about staying invested in long-term index funds with low expenses and never desert the ship. So they do not offer. Now, I know that Fidelity does. Obviously, our Ameritrade, which is being bought out by Schwab, does, which means Schwab allows, and I'm sure that Robinhood and Interactive Brokers, but the one exception would seem to be Vanguard that does not allow their investors or their clients to buy inverse funds. Okay, we've got earnings that have come in here. I have read all the news since yesterday's close. There was quite a bit of it. I'll give you a little update. The Best Stocks Now app server at HostMonster, one of the biggest hosting companies in the country. Bluehost owns HostMonster. Still down, but they have assured me that everything is sitting there. We haven't lost our data. We haven't lost all of the formulas. We haven't lost all of the code that we wrote. It's sitting there, and it's taking them longer than they expected, do you think? That was last Wednesday that it went down, so we're keeping our fingers crossed that that thing comes back up. I don't know that it would be a big help right now. Right now, it's all about the technical charts and looking at charts. I've always said that charts are a leading indicator. Charts are ahead of the actual fundamentals, right? Before those earnings estimates start to go down, ratchet downwards, you start to see the technicals, the charts start to go. I would say this too. I think it was who lowered their global forecast for growth today? The International Monetary Fund, one of those lowered their forecast for global growth this year. Well, okay, we've got Russia still massing troops on the border there of Ukraine. That situation continues to escalate. You've got 8,500 American soldiers on high alert. I don't know what good that would do. There's 100,000 Russians massed on that border. I talked to my son-in-law who's in the Army, and, you know, he can't say much. So anyways, let's see. What else do we got here today? After the close tonight, there's some that would say this earnings report might turn the market around. Well, look, we've come back 100 points. We're only down 630. Maybe we've seen that initial washout for the day.
We've got Microsoft reporting today, correct?
Yes, Microsoft. And there's big hopes. In fact, Dan Niles yesterday said, can Microsoft come to the rescue of this market? Well, maybe the bottom's in here for the day. The bottom in the show is certainly in. it's all uphill from here. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, you know, I'm thinking maybe that bottom. I have found over the years that initial wave in the morning, Barry, that first hour, I call that amateur hour. You know, I mean, I think that's the people that went to bed going, man, when I get up, I just want out. And they do that right at the open of the market. That seems to be kind of the panic selling. And that can either lead to more panic selling, or the savvy professional institutional investor saying, you know, we're going to scoop up a few of these stocks here that they are just selling indiscriminately. I would also call that indiscriminate hour, where they throw out the baby with the bathwater, that first hour of trade. Now, many stocks deserve to be thrown out. You know, we've thrown out a lot. And I would say in almost every case, what we sold in December and early January, and even, you know, yesterday, in every case, those stocks are much lower than where we sold them. And there would be a point in time where, yeah, I would consider getting back in, but that time has not come yet. So anyways, amateur hour is kind of over. Now we're kind of in that, what should we do next kind of mode, but maybe that initial sell. There is an axiom in the market, too, and I've seen this happen. It's not a pretty term. Here's how Seeking Alpha calls it: a cathartic puke. The stock market sell-off on Monday brought the broader market into correction territory, a long-awaited shakeout for those questioning frothy valuations. It's also known, hopefully, as a capitulation. And I have also noticed that usually the market has to capitulate 2 days in a row, which it did again this morning. I know it's not pretty, but Wells Fargo strategist calls it a cathartic puke. Bend, not break market. That's kind of where I'm at on this, Barry. It has bent a lot, but a lot of stocks have broke, okay? I don't think we're at that point where the market's going to break. I mean, it's not like the economy is going into the tank. It's not like the earnings estimates for next year aren't pretty damn optimistic.
Well, it's yeah.
Not, you know what I'm saying?
You got to put it in perspective. I mean, you know, I was reading the IMF outlook, right? You know, decreased it 0.5 for global growth, but it's still in the fours.
Yeah.
You know, they, and then of course the headline underneath that is, you know, they slashed U.S. growth by 1.1%. To 4%, so 4% GDP growth is, you know, if we were three, you know, 4 years ago or 3 years ago, right, pre-COVID,
yeah.
If you said the GDP was 4%, it'd be, a takeoff in terms of economic growth. So it's, you know, you've got to put things in context. Of course, right now, you know, the sentiment, the news, right, everything is going to be geared towards that negative side. Of course, we'll get the Fed meeting statement tomorrow and see where they stand. But, you know, overall, the world economy, U.S. economy is still in growing mode. So we're not, we're not on a contraction at this point.
No, they call it correct, but not crash. And that's kind of, I guess, the camp that I'm in, bend, but don't break. But, you know, having said that, I mean, the ARK stocks have broke, they broke a long, long time ago. Biotechs, SPACs, that high, falutin long, duration end of the market. And at the same time, there's a vicious rotation taking place. From long duration, someday stocks to small banks, to oil and gas stocks, to low PE stocks. That's the internal rotation that takes place. So as I said, tomorrow, Wednesday, we get the Fed meeting, and we do not expect a rate hike tomorrow. I would add one more thing, Barry, to the bullish nature that's still in place for the globe. Omicron is pretty much blowing through really quickly. And as far as I can see, we're going to have some sunshine after that. Okay. The clouds are going to clear on coronavirus. I don't know when they come back, but as I look right now, I do not see anything out there. I don't see any variants coming up in South Africa or Israel or other places. So I would say that's another positive sign. But like I say, you got to be really picky in the market right now. Don't be going back into Teladoc. It's a different market out there right now. So anyways, the Federal Reserve is expected to set the stage for a liftoff in March. That would be March 16th. The market has given that a 98% probability for a 25 basis point hike. The probability for a 50, it's out there, but pretty low. We're expecting a quarter of a percent and wrapping up the taper. Okay, that's another thing. Morgan Stanley, okay, and it's prediction time. Everybody's weighing in. Of course, Morgan Stanley, well, God bless them. I mean, they've been the most negative of all. They said we're overdue for a 10% correction. Here we are. Morgan Stanley thinks the S&P can plunge another 10%. I don't see that myself. Okay, that would take it down into to the 3,800 range. I don't see that personally. I mean, that would be pretty gruesome if they were right. They say that this type of action that we're watching is not comforting. The game has changed, says Michael Lewis. Barclays is owned by Morgan Stanley now. Is that correct? Head of U.S. stock trading, or Barclays owns Morgan Stanley the other way around. He says it's going to be a tough year. It's going to be a tough year for people to make money. From 2009 to 2021, you've been paid to buy the dip. I don't think you buy the dip anymore. Okay, that's according to Morgan Stanley. Now, I just have to say that they have been pretty brutal and pretty grim on the market for a long time, even while it was hitting all-time highs. Jim Cramer's on the other side of the fence. He's basically kind of where I am. He says, if you bought into Monday's weakness, as I've been telling you to do, I think you'll end up being happy with your decision. Okay, that's Cramer. And, you know, I think you just have to, qualify that a little bit. I don't think buying into, I don't think buying electric vehicle stocks would be the right thing to do. And I'm talking more of the ones that don't have any earnings yet, you know, the Lucids. And what's the truck company? Rivian, the Rivians of the world.
Yeah, rough day yesterday.
Yeah, but if you're buying into the Microsofts, the Apples, even better yet, low PE stocks, I do think you'll be happy. All right. When we come back, got to be selective. Let's try to narrow things down a little bit here. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now, wherever we can find something out there. I would also say that this is maybe the second half of the stock market here. The Dow came right down to that critical support level like it did yesterday, and now it's recovering off of that. For the second day in a row, we were down almost 800 points. Now we're down 387. So if you're looking for a little good news, a little light at the end of the tunnel, we're seeing similar action to yesterday with now a double test of that big plunge that we saw yesterday. We had that at the open, and now we are recovering off of that. All right, more news here. Lamborghini goes fully electric. Is there a more beautiful car out there than a Lamborghini? Barry, I mean, I see one of those.
I remember the posters on my wall as a kid.
Yes, Lamborghini. My brother's a Ferrari guy. He loves Ferraris. He owns a few, several. He works on them. He redoes them. From start to finish, we'll take a Ferrari, take it all apart, every single piece, and redo every single piece in that Ferrari, a complete restoration. He's pretty well known for that. That's always been his passion, cars. Lamborghini, fully electric. So I'd say look out, Tesla. Here comes Lamborghini.
That's going to be trickier to work on.
Yeah, you know, there's not a lot of Lamborghini mechanics, and just to look at it, you know, it's $500 an hour or whatever. Okay, Needham is recommending Etsy. I think I'll pass. Etsy was a good one during the work-from-home craze. Etsy got up to $307 per share. Now it's at $146. Okay, while people were at home, they were able to, make handmade goods and whatnot. It's almost like an online street fair is what Etsy is. I'm going to pass on Needham's pick there. I think that was one from the work-from-home era. Okay, the small banks, that's one area. I know it's not very exciting, but I've seen it before. They're kind of sitting in a pretty spot right now because, you know, I mean, they're not really that sensitive to the economy, number one. Number two, their P.E. ratios are in the 11 and 12 area. And number three, when interest rates start to move higher, they're the first ones of all the sectors in the market. They're the first ones that will benefit. So, you know, there's a lot of bank ETFs. There's a lot of bank mutual funds. There's leveraged bank ETFs, leveraged bank mutual funds. I know that ProShares has a 2-to-1 bank. I think the banks, like I say, I don't see the crash. I don't see that area of the market crashing like the ARK stocks have. I think they're holding up just fine. There's a bunch of them that reported earnings today. I gave you one example of a Hope, small regional bank, and look at that thing. That's one of the best charts in the entire market here today. So if you're looking for something on the long side, I don't think it's a time to be completely short in the market. I still think there's things on the long side of the market that still look good. okay, I want to talk about IBM just for a minute. I'm not a fan of the stock. It's basically gone nowhere for years. But, you know, there is such a thing as a turnaround. And maybe there's some talk that IBM is in the midst of a turnaround. IBM's earnings bottomed out in 2020 at $6.82. And they just came in with a very good earnings report. They beat earnings, and they're expected their earnings expected to be up 34% this year, 34% from last year, and another 10% next year. It definitely fits the profile of low PE at 16 times earnings. And as far as the dividend yield is, you have a 5.1% dividend yield. I would just say that I like IBM better than I've liked it in many years. You know, those technology mutual funds, they've got to continue to buy tech stocks. And I think they're looking at, you know, the IBMs of the world at the low PEs and possible turnarounds as opposed to NVIDIA and some of the real high Amazon. Amazon's one of the worst charts in the entire market. That thing has just fallen off of a cliff. All right, IBM beats earnings. So that's really the first tech stock. I don't really consider Netflix to be a tech stock. I consider it to be more of a leisure stock. That's really the first tech stock, Barry, that has reported. So I think it's way too soon to say, well, the earnings season is off to kind of a soggy start, a little bit soft with all those bank earnings coming in. Well, the banks aren't feeling the wind at their back yet. That's going to happen here in coming quarters, so you have to kind of get out in front of that. And at the same time, we have not really, you know, tech has now become 26% of the S&P 500, Barry. It's one-fourth. It's over one-fourth of the S&P 500. It's a critical sector.
Well, and depending on the day, what, Apple's, 5 to 8% of the index in itself.
Yeah, and so we're going to be getting, you know, the really crucial earnings are going to be your Apples and your Amazons and your Teslas, your Microsofts, Applied Materials,
Google.
On AMD, Google. We haven't heard from those. Facebook, we haven't heard from any of those companies yet. So I would not say that this earnings season, until we have more evidence, we don't really have enough evidence yet. But we're going to start getting some this week, and then next week we're going to get a gusher of earnings. Johnson & Johnson, I'm not real wild about Johnson & Johnson. They reported earnings. That's helping the Dow out a little bit. Johnson & Johnson's up 1.2%. I can't find a compelling reason to own J&J. General Electric beats by 3 cents. General Electric is a broken company many years ago. It got up to $260 a share. It peaked out, probably 2015 around there, about the time the former CEO bailed on the company, left a big mess. Now the stock's at 90.
Yeah, 90. down almost 7% today, and I saw a stat where they missed for the fourth quarter in a row, and it's like on revenue, and it's like, you know, you can't, eventually you miss on revenue four quarters in a row. It tells me that that leadership doesn't understand the company. Unfortunately, they're in charge of guiding that revenue, and if you miss it four times in a row, it's to me, it's just a tough situation for that.
Yeah,
company.
He left a real big mess. I mean, there's some companies diversify and become stronger and better, and there's another word out there called diversify. And I think Immelt diversified General Electric, the great stock that I can't remember the CEO before Immelt, but he's a legend in his time. Now I'll go you one better on their.
Yeah,
dismal.
Jack
Welch.
Yeah, just by the first name. You know?
Yep. Bang. He's like an icon. Right. Okay, over the last 5 years, their earnings at GE have dropped by 53% per year. 53% per year. Now, it could be a turnaround, but today's not the day. Maybe it's just hit its low. If you're a contrarian, if you're a person that likes to buy stocks that are down and out, You know, IBM and GE, couple of candidates there if you're in that camp. NVIDIA is getting ready to drop its ARM deal, which was an acquisition they wanted to make. It's costing them an arm and a leg. Look at the stock. It's right on its 200-day moving average. There's another one that has just tanked from 346 down to 225, sitting right on its 50-day, no, 200-day, last bastion of support. Can it hold? We don't own NVIDIA anymore. We did at one time. Another little bank here. Let's check in on that. SFBS. I'm going to look at a lot of these. Well, look at that. Okay. Look at this is one of the best charts in the entire market. I remember when I saw that this morning. SFBS. That's a service first bank shares. While NVIDIA is tanking, that stock has just been on an upwards climb all throughout this, never halted whatsoever, and is up 1.2% today after earnings. A little bank down in Alabama and Florida, they got 21 branches and a nice-looking stock chart. We'll be right back. Here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. The market has improved considerably. It did go down, double puke, I guess you could say, and it has come back quite a bit. The Dow is now down 280. It was down 800 at one point. We've come way back. Hopefully we'll go positive here pretty soon, Barry. The NASDAQ, however, it was down 400. It's now down 260. And the S&P was down 100. It's down now about 63. So there are areas of the market that are storming back here. There is some buying after that amateur hour at the open of the market. Well, there's three charts that jumping off the page to me. And I chose them because they also represent sectors of the market that we are favorable in. As this vicious sector rotation takes place, definitely not as sexy as flying taxis, but hey, you know what? The charts are way better than the flying taxi charts. These are stocks we've mentioned before. I'm going to start with Cheniere Energy, LNG, which stands for liquid natural gas. I read yesterday, and we might have reported yesterday, about the record amount of liquid natural gas that is coming into the Cheniere terminal. They don't have a lot of competition either. Cheniere really took off and decided to invest heavily into liquid natural gas. That's what Putin is playing around with up there with his Nord Stream pipeline in Germany. You know, he got that in place first. He got Europe pretty much dependent upon his natural gas. And then as he attempts to take over Ukraine, he's got Europe in a tight spot there, especially in the middle of winter, right? I mean, if Europe, you know, sends troops, we'll just tighten up your heating gas, your heating oil. That's the way that works. But LNG is up 4.7% today. That is the second decent day in a row. There is a small dividend, 1.2%. It's a $27 billion company. You know, it's interesting that Cheniere has a relative strength on a scale of 1 to 99 of 95, okay? One of the strongest stocks in the entire market. LNG, relative strength, 95. Let's just contrast that. Teladoc's relative strength on a scale of 1 to 99 is 6. 6 versus 95. Now, I think that's a great example of topsy-turvy. the stocks that led in 2020, 2 years ago now, are now at the bottom. Coinbase has a 16 relative strength. It's in the bottom decile as far as market performance, while you've got an LNG Cheniere at the top, in the top 5% of relative strength. And I do believe in relative strength along with valuation. The market now, you're finding the relative strength in the low PE stocks. Let's just look at my next example. A regional bank, Zion Bank Corp. It is up 4.8% today out of Salt Lake City, Utah. Zion Bank Corp beats earnings. It's having a great day here today. It has a PE ratio of 9, Barry, single-digit PE ratio. It has a dividend yield of 2.3%. And its relative strength is 89. Okay, if you'd have looked at Zion in the year 2000, its relative strength would have been like 35, right? Something like that. Bank stocks aren't real exciting. But it just shows you that you kind of have to have an open mind in the market. You can't be a one-track, focused on tech only. Well, there's a whole world out there. You drive down the big street of Yorktown, you see businesses from all different sectors of life. Yesterday I saw that there was a big billboard we passed on Highway 17 there. It said Amerus Bank Corp. Amerus, A-M-E-R-S. I said, hey, that's one that is showing up on my momentum list right now. And we passed it. It's right there by Home Depot. You know, it's just this little bank, but they got them all throughout the South. I'm just telling you, that's where the action is right now. You can look at a chart yourself of Zion. Come to Zion, Z-I-O-N, which is a $10 billion market cap company. Is it fair to say, too, Barry, that these are short-duration companies? You've got Cheniere expected to make $9 per share this year. You've got Zion that pays a big dividend and has always been profitable and been growing by 20% per year. Are these short-duration stocks?
Yeah, certainly. And it's shown by those low price-to-earnings ratios,
exactly.
Right? You're not paying many dollars per earnings. I mean, that's
and you don't have to sit and wait 4 years for positive cash flow, right?
Right.
I remember when Tesla, the big announcement for Tesla several years ago is they finally went positive on their cash flow, not their earnings, their cash flow, which is different from earning. And that was like a major milestone. Okay, the last one, I'm just going to, you can smell this one coming. CF Industries, that's a beautiful chart again today on our, some people call us the fertilizer show. The Full of Fertilizer show. CF Industries, $15 billion market cap, a PE ratio right now.
Right,
it's 22. 12?
Yeah, well, forward,
the
PE
forward
is around 12,
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Actually, the forward PE is around 7. They're expected to make $11 in earnings next year, $70 stock. That puts it at a forward PE of about 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Now, okay, lastly, what do you think the relative strength is on a scale of 1 to 99, with 99 being the best? CF Industries is a 97.
I was going to say, with the chart in front of me, it's got to be in the 90s.
Okay, 97 when you compare it to all the other stocks out there. Where's Tesla these days? Tesla's been dropping. Tesla reports earnings. Tesla's still an 88. He's still got the Teflon coating, but he better deliver this week with a PE ratio of 185. All right, well, this has been fun. We'll come back and do it again tomorrow. Get the newsletter. I'm even sending out live trades to people right now with my app down, GundersonCapital.com. Give us a call if your guys gals doing nothing. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.